All right. Good morning and welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at the same number. On the line, Mr. Shandar Nair.
Don't worry about it, though.
Okay, so you are coming to us this morning from what country?
From Kuala Lumpur in Malaysia.
From in Malaysia, and we are having a dialogue and a conversation about a book that you've written that I would venture to say is probably going to be taking the world by storm, and I don't know if people in this nation know about it, but I'm certainly going to purchase it. Dismantling Global White Privilege, Equity for the Post-Western World. This is so important to me, because as an American and Americans who, for the most part, we aren't really aware or really familiar with the rest of the world. We've been so blessed in our country, and I don't want to shouldn't use the term blessed, but part of it is a curse that we live inside of our borders. And even though we only make up 4% of the global population, we in this country are so arrogant enough to think that America is the world, and not that America is part of the world.
Absolutely right.
And so that's why it's so good to hear perspectives of people from the world as to how we are perceived.
Yeah. So, you know, if I could just, your earlier question. So you're right. Selective telling of history is a major industry of the propaganda that the Western world has mastered over the last 200 years. And it's only in the last 10 to 15 years that people from the other parts of the world, India, Africa, Southeast Asia, have had the courage, the access to essentially tell their versions of it. So what the British did in India was rarely talked about in a historical sense with good analysis. And about 5 years ago, a very good Indian writer did a huge amount of research and produced the books. And I think in the West, there needs to be an honest appraisal of the history of what happened so that the next generation know, because the world knows. That's the other thing that the Western world doesn't understand, that the Western dominance was not based on essentially goodwill and the need to develop under countries. It was based on organized large-scale violence better than anyone else did, was able to do for the last 400 years. So that's the kind of, the book is the first of its kind. And I'd just like to say, my publisher is actually a U.S. publisher out of California. And out of Oakland, actually, and BK Books. So the book is very available in the United States. But you're right, I'm coming on shows like this in the United States to try and reach the American audiences, because they can read such a book and understand the context that white privilege is not something that's just local. It's much more systemic. It's it lurks everywhere in the world we live in, and it's something that we need to be aware of. And it's not an anti-white discussion here. It's a discussion about how do we create a more equitable world going forward. But this is me from the from the non-American stance talking about how white privilege is so systemically organized in terms of how the powers are, that unless we do something about it, I think white people themselves will find themselves always at odds with the majority, and the tide is turning.
So tie white supremacy into white superiority.
Well, did you say tie white?
Yeah, white privilege into white superiority. Are they one and the same?
Well, they are the same in the sense that the privilege is the desire to essentially maintain entitlement, exceptionalism, and all of those things, so that you can continue to benefit from the sort of rights that you have. But to do that, you also have to believe you're superior to others. That's the only way you can kind of explain it. But it's the maintenance of the privilege, which has essentially an economic driver. And this is why I said why privilege is fundamentally about maintaining economic superiority over others. And white superiority is an attempt to essentially make sure that people see us as different, and people look up to us. So the telling of history needs to be essentially said in a way that we will never be seen as having done things badly. We did not go and bomb Laos. We did not go and kill tens of thousands of people in Iraq. We were the good guys. And that's how you maintain this. So you distort history. But the desire is to create that superiority so that you can enjoy the privileges of global hegemony.
So you talked about the geopolitics of it, and if so apparently the rest of the world is waking up, and many are still in fear of our nation. The one thing that our nation does is. It clearly points out, and why it continues to spend record-breaking numbers, almost $1 trillion a year on its military, even though we only make up 4% of the population, is to send a message: we're going to remain superior, right?
That's right. So if you look at this, the issue of why the Europeans, for instance, are constantly allies with the Americans, and there's almost a kind of white tribe. And at the apex of that white tribe is the Anglosphere, which is essentially Britain. The United States is the leader of that tribe, the Britain, and then the white settler communities of essentially Canada, New Zealand, and Australia. And the rest of the world, we see it so clearly, but the Western world doesn't see it. So there's an alliance, and that whole alliance is to essentially maintain what is clearly becoming harder to maintain, is the supremacy of Western civilizations that have dominated the world for the last 400 years. So irrespective of how you see China, it's got to be understood the Western world is for the first time in 400-500 years being confronted by a non-Caucasian civilization that is able and probably will surpass it in many areas. So what do? You demonize it. And I'm not here to say China is perfect, etc. But if you see it in the arc of, from the arc of history, from the point of view of the arc of history, then the Western world is petrified because for the first time in 400-500 years, they are confronted by a non-Caucasian civilization, and they are determined to bring it down.
You know, that is something that if we opened our eyes, we could surely see. But
yes. But
in this country, in America, we don't want to see that. We are so bogged down with things that are frivolous and don't matter and don't mean anything whatsoever, and keep us ignorant. And so our nation is and politically is so adept at making sure that the American people are ignorant to what's happening globally. And so, what do we do? We can get them caught up in these things on internet. What are those things called?
The social media.
Social media. And so Social media really dumbs down people.
Absolutely. It's the chief ingredient, it's the chief dumbing down mechanism now.
Yeah, and so that's the purpose of it. And when everybody or the majority of the American people are caught up in that, they'll never be willing to accept the conversation you and I are having right now. We've got to go to a break. So Mr. Shandar Nair is on the line. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. I got to tell you, it's a fascinating conversation. I wish you'll join us. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.
Something's wrong with it. Something's wrong with the world. Yeah, we only got one day.